hearts and our minds, that we might hear from the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all love the Lord, do we not? Amen. It's just good to be here this morning in the house of God. My family, my family, my family, my family. My beautiful family, it's good to see you this morning. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Let's prepare to receive a word from the Lord. We've gathered in this place, God, to worship you. Other chances and opportunities for life and living. How you make ways for us in times of trouble. How you stand with us even when we fall and when we fail. You deserve our worship and our praise. And we do love you, God. We love you because you've given us the opportunity that you first loved us. We thank you, God. Pray now in Jesus' name that you will lift the veil of darkness from our minds, but more so from our hearts. We pray, O God, that you would tear down the strongholds that have established themselves in our lives and in this church that prevent you from doing what you desire to do in the body of this church. We pray, oh God, that you reclaim your church. In reclaiming your church, God, it means reclaiming our souls, our hearts, and our minds. And so right now, God, we pause to reflect on ourselves. We pray, oh God, that you will reveal to me. Reveal to us. We pray, oh God, that we don't continue to live by the lies that have deceived us and cause us to believe something that is not true. God, I ask you to bind the devil in this place and in our hearts as we desire fully given over to you. We pray, oh God, that you would give us a word this morning, that you will speak truth to our hearts. Thank you for the worship experience. Thank you for hearts and souls that lift your name in praise. Thank you, God, for bringing us closer to you in this moment. Now speak words of life, words of truth. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Close to thee, Lord, close to thee. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't have a scripture reference this morning because I want to teach you. And I had came to church. I had come to church, came to church. Which one is it, y'all? Don't matter. Y'all know I'm here. I came to church with another message on my mind, in my heart, and in my notes. But the Lord has quickly changed that. Have you ever had a nagging thought you just couldn't get rid of? Something just kept bothering you. You didn't know why. And until you took time to notice it and question it and challenge it and ask it some very difficult questions. Well, that's been kind of in my spirit, in my mind this morning. And so today I want to talk about spiritual warfare. It's about time we talked about that, because I think some of us have forgotten that the devil is alive. Now, I'm very rational and realistic. I believe in science and logic and reason and philosophy. I believe in the intelligence of man. God created us that way so that we can discover his world and his creation. He's placed rules in this world that he's given to us. So I believe in nature. I believe in science. I believe in all the things that man has discovered to be true. But I also believe in the devil. I also believe that there are spirits in the world, hierarchies of spirits, that are assigned to people and places for no other purpose than to keep them away from God, to keep them from discovering their real potential and their true selves. Are you with me this morning? And so today I want to talk about spiritual warfare that occurs in the lives, because sometimes we may not even realize that we are under attack, because we see things in the physical and the natural, and we, like Paul says, we should not do war against flesh and blood. But it's not flesh and blood, but it's things in the spirit. Can I just talk to you today? All right, I hope I say something that will benefit you and bless us all. Do you know what Satan's best weapon is? The best weapon that Satan uses against God's creation, you and me, is our denial or our ignorance of his presence. That there is a power, there is a spirit that influences us for no other purpose than to destroy or disrupt the purpose of God in our lives. You do know that there's a spiritual world, don't you? There is a spiritual world. And according to the Bible, there was a spiritual world before there was a physical world. We all know that God is what? Spirit. And God existed before anything. He's Alpha and the Omega. He is the unmoved mover. He is the uncaused cause. He always was and always will be. He has no origin. He has no existence outside of himself. He is his own existence, his own origin, his own creation. God is spirit. But not only is God spirit, but in his creation, he created angels who are spirits. And those angels are both divine and demonic. Those angels are both for God and against God. They are spiritual. God, angels, are spiritual in that
They exist outside of the physical world. If we could have the privilege of pulling back the curtain of time and space, we could see an active world in the spirit that we have nothing, we know nothing about. And they are spiritual in that they are not controlled by the laws of nature and science. They don't need bodies, nor do they need anything physical to exist. They are spirit. They don't need air to breathe. They don't need food to eat. They don't need the things that we need in order to exist in the world, because they are spirits. They are without bodies. Remember the demoniac when Jesus came to cast out the man who had the demons? He was in the graveyard cutting himself, and people were afraid of him. And when he began to cast them out, the demon says, "Don't cast us out. Let us go into the pigs." They need a body in order to exist. They cannot exist outside of their bodies in the world. They need something physical in order to touch. And Satan works through people. He works in people, all to disrupt and to destroy the things of God. You belong to God. You were created by God. You are his precious jewel. You are his greatest creation. He looks upon you and says, "This is good and very good. We are fearfully and wonderfully made." But Satan desires to disrupt your lives and to destroy your lives. Demons, spirits are not subject to the laws of science, and they exist behind the veil of nature. But at the same time, are you listening today? We are also spirits, but in a different sense. The only difference between us and them is that we have bodies, because we need bodies to exist on the earth. After God created the entire world, he needed someone who was created in his image, who possessed the Spirit of God in all of his fullness, to exist on the earth. After he had created air and water and heat and cold and things that we need and food to exist, he placed us spirit beings on the body, on the earth rather, and clothe us in bodies. You know the story, don't you? God created us for the existence of this earth, but he also gave us the capacity to be influenced by spiritual things. So he created us with spirits, even though we're bodies. Genesis chapter 2 says this: "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Are you listening? "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We are created, my sisters and brothers, with three distinct capacities: body, soul, and spirit. Let me see if you can see it in the text that I just read. Let me read it again for you. See if you can discern the three capacities of being human. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed it within him the nostrils, the breath of life. And God," and man rather, "became a living soul." Do you see it? The dust of the ground, the earth. The breath of God, God, divinity, image of God, fullness of God. And then after dust and the breath of God came together, man became a living soul. See it? Our bodies is what helps us to exist on earth. The Spirit of God is what animates us and gives us life. And our souls are us. Our personalities, our unique characteristics. Our souls are made of our mind, our will, and our emotions, our personalities. So we are both spirit and body. We have personalities that are unique, and individuals, as individuals. And so we have the capacity to exist on this earth. But also because we possess the Spirit of God, we have the capacity to be influenced by spirits. And we can either be influenced by the Spirit of God or the spirit of Satan. Y'all with me today? God has made us and created us as human beings that exist on earth, that we're supposed to be in relationship with God spiritually. We were connected with God. We could experience God. We could hear God. We could feel God. We could touch God. We could dance with God. We knew God because it was our spirits, that breath that he breathed within us, made us one with God. But when we sinned, that was all severed. But we still have the capacity to experience spiritual things. And that's where the problem lies. Because man had the capacity to experience spiritual things. He could hear God, but he could also hear the devil. He could hear and experience the love of God, but he also could hear and experience the hatred and the destruction of the devil. And that's why man was destroyed in their relationship with God. Because we listened to the lies of the devil. And ever since the time of Adam, it has been happening. So in the same way we are influenced by Satan, we are influenced by his demons. How are we influenced? We are influenced to act, think, and behave as Satan desires. We are influenced to act, think, and behave as God desires us to act, think, and behave. But we also have the capacity, because we are spiritual beings, to be influenced by Satan. To act, to think, and to behave as Satan desires us to behave. Are you with me today? And so we've got to understand how Satan moves, how he operates. He begins with our minds. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 10 that we can only be renewed, how? In our minds, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are so essential. Our minds need to know what is right and what's wrong. Our minds need to be able to discern what is God and what is the devil, what is good and what is bad. That's what our minds are supposed to do. And however our minds are influenced, that's the direction we'll go in life. Are you with me today? And so it's important that we keep our minds right, that we keep our minds stayed on God. I will keep you, God says, in perfect peace, huh? When your mind is stayed on me. You want to be able to avoid the influence of Satan? Keep your mind on God. Whatsoever is righteous, whatsoever is good, what has a good report, what's favorable, what's lovable, what the things of God, think on these things. And so if you want, slow down, Tony, if you want to be able to recognize whether you are under the influence of Satan or God, look at how you think. Is the way I think the way that God wants me to think about myself and about my world? The word of God, as it comes to me, does it inform me of who I am in God and how I am to behave in the world? And one thing that the word of God does for us is that it makes us godly in that it assists us in several things. One is understanding who we are, defining ourselves the way that God defines us, to see ourselves as God sees us. And when we see ourselves as less than God sees us, then we see ourselves not through the eyes of God, but through the influences of the devil. You're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You are beautifully and wonderfully made in Christ. You are a precious jewel. You're made in the image of God. You belong to the Most High God. You are a child of God. You are a conqueror. You are a victor. You're beautiful. You're lovely because when God created you, he says, this is good. But also how you think about the world. And the way you think is the way you operate in the world. And how do you operate in the world? How would God operate in the world? What does God do? God spreads joy. God spreads beauty. God spreads uplift. God sacrifices himself for others in love. God does the things that build up earth, world, and society. God brings good into the earth. And if your life is not bringing good into the world, but bringing destruction and damnation and criticism and downgrading of life and humanity, it's not of God. Slow down, Tony. Slow down, Tony. It's of the devil. And one thing that we've got to recognize, first of all, is that when we are thinking the way we think and behaving the way we behave, and when we see things that occur in life, we've got to understand that we're not struggling against flesh and blood. King James says wrestle. Wrestling is an intimate sport. To wrestle means that the individual is close on you. When you wrestle eye to eye and toe to toe, hand to hand, you touch bodies. And the Bible says that the devil is that close to us that he's wrestling with us. Let me tell you something. You may not know this. And then again, you may. The devil knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you better than you know yourself. And so his greatest weapon against us is lies. 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 Lies are deceptions that are presented as true. Lies are false ideas, situations, or circumstances that are deliberately presented as true. Satan lies. He's the father of lies. And this is how he lies to us. First of all, he lies to us about ourselves. I want to tell somebody here, I don't know how to say it, don't know really what to say. But somebody's struggling with self-identity up in here. You think you're less than what God created you to be. You think you're messed up because you've had issues and problems growing up. Somehow that has defined you in terms of the problems and situations that you have gone through. You may not have been celebrated by parents or friends. You may have been bullied in school. You may have had failures upon failures in life, and somehow that has defined who you are. And so you look at yourself as less than whom God created you to be. But I want to tell you this, my sister, my brother, without fear of contradiction, the devil is a liar. God comes to set us free. Not only our souls, but our minds, which is a part of our souls. He He sets us free. So, what's that? Something, the song we used to sing back in the day, search me, Lord. If you find anything that what? Come on, old schoolers. What you take it out and what? Strengthen me. I want to be what? Right? Come on, preach for me now. I want to be what? Saved. I want to be whole. Search me, Lord. Minds. And so today, if you're struggling with self-identity, I know there's a lot of things that may contribute to that. I'm not against biology or the way the body secretes hormones and all that kind of thing. That's true. That's real. But one thing you ought to know, that there are some things that are happening to you that are caused by spirits because of who you listen to. Lies. Lies about ourselves. And he disguises himself in our own thoughts. And he whispers things that distances us from our true selves. Because we're wrestling. And so wrestling is intimacy. It's closeness. And while he's wrestling with us, he's whispering things in our ears. And we can't discern whether it's us or whether it's God. Come on now. He whispers these things to us and defines us as something less than what God created us to be. But also, he disguises himself in using the words and ideas of others we respect and who have influence over our lives. In other words, what I'm saying is that Satan puts lies on the lips of those folks you love and respect. Could be a rap singer, could be a politician, could be a teacher, could be a professor, could be somebody you just hear walking down the street. And he places these lies because he knows you better than you know yourself. And he whispers and he tries to define for you who you are. And when he whispers subtly to our spirits, our minds have to be strong enough to understand that that's not who I am. That's not what's happening. That's not who God created me to be. Now I'm a child of God. And God's got me. And all things work together for the good of those who love God. Slow down, Tony. Slow down, Tony. Slow down, Tony. So we've got to be able to recognize. And the reason why Satan is able to establish strongholds, and the definition of strongholds, well, let me finish my thought. The way that he's able to establish strongholds in our lives is because of the way we think, what we accept, what we embrace. In other words, what we believe as true. And strongholds are this. Strongholds are philosophies and ideas of the devil. Those things that come to establish themselves in our hearts and affect the way we think and control what we see and how we see it and how we define what we see and know. What the devil is a lie up in here today. As God is getting ready to tear down some strongholds in somebody's life this morning. Praise his holy name. And so he speaks to our minds. He speaks with a twisted logic and damaging untruths. Because he hates us and he hates the people around us and he doesn't want you to grow in your relationship with God. And if you're growing in your relationship with God, he does not want you to influence others to grow in their relationship with God. And so he comes at you and he attacks your mind. Sometimes he attacks your body. And he comes at you to destroy your witness and your testimony. He gives you negative thoughts and negative ideas. He gives you negative perspectives. There's nothing right with nobody around you. There's nothing right with you. You can't do anything. You are messed up and jacked up. If you had a better life, if you had daddy was at home, or if you went to a better school, you'd be all right. He lies to us. But somebody ought to turn determined up in here today that I'm going to be set free. Amen. So as children of God, we need to understand how Satan works. How he works. He works in our minds to control us, to destroy us, to stop us from becoming the children of God. So what can we do? What can we do to fight off the devil? One of the things that we can do is, again, I mentioned it already, think right. Ask God to control your thoughts. Whatsoever is beautiful, lovely, joyful. Whatsoever righteous, whatsoever good report. You know, think on those things. But I want to carry you to Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, to let you know that there's something else that you can do. It reads, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. Its message was true and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river of the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a fine belt of the finest gold around his waist. The brother was sharp. His body was like chrysolite. His face was like lightning, his eyes like a flame, like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of a burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees, and he said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words that I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response of them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. The way we tear down the strongholds, or how we become free from the powers and the influences of Satan, is the way we think. But if that doesn't work and you're still struggling, then fasting and praying gives you access to the spiritual realm like nothing else can. There are some things that we go through. There are some spirits that are so strong and so mighty that we just can't outthink them. Sometimes we need to reach deep into our souls and our spirits in order to defeat the power and to strengthen us and encourage us so that we might gird ourselves up in the power and the might of the Lord. And the way that we become stronger spiritually, my sisters and my brothers, is through fasting and praying. It says here that God responded to Daniel's prayer immediately. He sent a message. But through this angelic being to come and care for Daniel, or answer Daniel's request. He was held up for 21 days. And for 21 days, Daniel fasted. What does fasting do? Fasting strengthens the soul. Fasting brings the body under subjection. Fasting brings your mind under the control of the things of God, because your body and your mind desire food. But when you can discipline your spirit to the place where you can deny the very things that you need to exist in lieu of receiving the things that are of God, then your soul is being strengthened. You are growing in your faith. Your power and your might becomes even stronger, so that you can resist the things of the devil. This is why, because Jesus was a human being, Jesus is a human being, this is why Jesus had to fast for 40 days before he actually started his ministry. Before he started his ministry, he had to fast. He had to control his body. He had to bring his body under subjection. And after 40 days, the devil came to him with various kinds of temptations. Turn these stones into bread. You're Jesus, the Son of God. And he says, man does not live by bread alone. There are always temptations that we have to be confronted with, my sisters and brothers. But if you find yourself failing and falling time after time, it may become time to fast. To push the plate aside, not for health reasons, but for spiritual reasons. Can I share with you, my time is quickly waning, I'm not going to keep you long, I'm not going to finish it today, but can I share with you something that happened to me when I was a new convert? I may have been 4, 5, 6 years in the faith, really trying to get it and understand what God wanted me to do. My wife died. I'm lost. I'm confused. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I had faith, and I had courage, and I had trust. And there's one day, I says after work, I said, God, I'm committing my time to you. I'm going to give you my time, because I've been busy working and taking care of the children and watching television and doing all those things that separate me from you. So God, I'm setting aside a space of time just for me and you. I got up that morning and says, God, I'm going to go to work, and after I come to work, it's going to be me and you. Get the children ready for bed, and now it's just me and you. Well, 2/3 of that was pretty good. And I began to watch the news. And when I watched the news, the commercial came on for the next program. My plan was, after the news, I'm going to spend my time with God. But there came a commercial for a program that I really liked. And so I watched that. I said, God, forgive me, I'm going to watch this. Then I watched that one. Before that one, then another commercial came on. And I said, oh, that sounds pretty interesting. And I pushed it aside. I said, God, I watched that. Now, after that, God, it went on and on. You got the cycle. After that, something very strange happened to me. As I was sitting there on my couch, and I've shared this with you before, I was sitting there on my couch, and all of a sudden, there was an out-of-body experience. I stepped out of myself, and I looked back at myself, and I didn't see me. I saw a person in me, and he was weak, disheveled. He looked like one of those children we see that are starving in third world countries. And he had his hands outstretched toward me, and I looked in his eyes, and there was a look of desperation. And he says, feed me.
I was denying my soul the privilege of growing. And as a consequence, there were questions and doubts about God. As a consequence, I was failing and stumbling in my walk. As a consequence, I could not hear from God. My spirit was weak, but my body was strong. We are made of spirit, body, and soul. Our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions, the real you. After our bodies die, our spirits and souls will continue to live on. We will continue to be who we are. We won't change. And right now, God is asking for us to strengthen our souls and strengthen our spirits. He wants us to draw closer to him because it's better to be closer to him than it is to be away from him. And so God is calling us today, my sisters and brothers. You can start playing softly. God is calling us. To break away from the power of sin and Satan. Do you know what God wants to do with us? He wants us to glorify him in all that we do. Do you know what he wants to do with us? He wants to prosper each and every one of us. Do you know what he wants to do with us? He wants to use us for his glory, to find true contentment and true peace. Do you know what he wants for you? He wants you to live the kind of life that nothing disturbs you, nothing bothers you, that whatever comes your way in life, it will roll off your back like water on a duck. Because you know who you are and that your circumstances, good or bad, don't define you, but you belong to God. God wants you happy. God wants you prosperous. God wants you blessed. That's what he wants. And this church will only become the kind of church, the collective body that he wants to use when we as individuals get ourselves together. This ain't about religion. This ain't about church organization. It ain't about church position. It's all about relationship with God. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. And God loves me. And God loves you. So, my sisters and brothers, let's bow our heads now in prayer. Is there anybody here who connects with what I'm saying? Is there anybody here this morning that knows that they have been influenced? Is there anybody here who's desiring to be better, to grow more, to break free from the shackles of sin and pain that are holding you back? Is there anybody here who wants to be free in the Lord? If you are, let's stand together. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now, God, asking that you would release us from the influences of Satan and sin. We pray now, God, that our lives that have been under the influence of the deceptions and the lies of the devil
We have now got to the place, oh God, where we recognize that sin and Satan can no longer influence our lives. So draw us closer now. Draw us closer as a church. Sanctify us as we offer ourselves up to you. Make us holy, God. Make us righteous. We're not trying to be anything, God, other than who you created us to be. And we're not defining ourselves, oh God, by what we see on the other side of town. Television, radio. But God, we want to be who you created us to be. So right now, God, let your spirit flow. Ah. Let your spirit flow throughout the house. And into our hearts. Let your word linger long, God. And raise up a people and a nation. Peculiar, strange, and powerful. Defeats the devil on every side. Who glorifies you and magnifies you in all that we do. So thank you, God, for deliverance. Thank you, God, for power. Set the captives free as we seek to serve and love you in spirit and in truth. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. And we give you, God, all the glory now and forever. Amen. 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 There is power.
There is power.
If there's anybody here today who wants to unite with us as a Christian body, you want to give your heart, your soul, your mind to Christ, now is an opportunity for you to come, making a commitment to God, joining us, this Christian band at Lizzie Chapel Baptist Church, to walk together and serve together in the love and under the power of the Spirit. If you're here, will you come? Amen. I see you coming. I see you coming.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Are there others? Are there others?
There's an army rising. every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
The church said, amen.